We all witnessed the challenges that the COVID-19 pandemic inflicted on our society. Lockdowns, vaccines, and mask mandates divided us, and it became tougher for those who abided by the new rules to show love for those of us who swore not to, and vice versa. Now the pandemic and many of its rules have faded from our collective consciousness, but the divisiveness is still with us. I talked with a librarian and a member of an organization in Washington State who is helping to repair the damage, and I asked how anyone can do the same where they live, too. I'm Josh Morgan. That conversation is coming up next on The Plural of You, the podcast about people helping people. I'm a data analyst and sociologist living in Baltimore, Maryland, and I'm on a mission to meet as many kind and helpful people as I can in my lifetime. I publish this podcast on the 15th of every month so I can introduce them to you. You can check out the episodes from the past 9 years. You can subscribe if you haven't already, wherever you get your podcasts. And if you wouldn't mind, tell a friend if you like this episode. I hope you enjoy the show. This month, I'd like to introduce you to Barb Seaman. Barb is a high school librarian and the assistant executive director at the East County Citizens Alliance. The ECCA, or ECA for short, is a nonprofit organization in Clark County, Washington. They serve the eastern Clark County area near Vancouver, Washington, and Portland, Oregon, on the southwestern tip of Washington State. ECA was founded during the COVID-19 pandemic in the city of Washougal. Barb will tell that story in a few minutes, but the short version is that ECA came together as a small group of volunteers, and they wanted to rebuild their local relationships that the pandemic had torn apart. They decided the best way to do that was to invite the greater Washougal community to get involved in various activities. Things that didn't involve politics or personal biases. The idea almost sounds too simple to be effective, but ECA has found a tremendous amount of success with it. They've been bringing people in Washougal back out of their homes to interact in positive ways, and it's an amazing example of love for human connection and the power that can have on a community. I think it comes through in our conversation, so let's get to it. Here's my conversation with Barb Seaman, Assistant Executive Director at the East County Citizens Alliance in Washougal, Washington. The thing I'm curious about the most is, how did the ECCA get started? My impression in reading a little bit online and what I could find was that during the COVID-19 pandemic and all the lockdowns that were associated with that, It sort of disrupted the social fabric of the community.
Yeah.
How did the whole idea come about to start this organization?
Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned that was a rough time with the lockdowns. People were, had been at home for a long time because the society was just sort of shut down. I work at our school, and so I was able to witness firsthand the effects of the pandemic on education. And how it was affecting, the students, the families of the students, the people who work in a building, and then as a result, the community, because our town is, not that big, and our school district is basically the hub of our community. And things kind of started getting ugly as the pandemic wore on and on and on, and it kind of brought out a lot of divisiveness and mistrust and misinformation about the education system and about government and about, just society in general. Everybody was so unsettled. So there was a group of us who kind of met each other online and started talking. And then we started Zooming and decided that we wanted to find some way of addressing this problem, of the fact that it felt like our community was sort of being torn apart. And so we talked and we brainstormed and wondered what we could do, and decided that the best thing we could do is try to find ways for people to build relationship again. We didn't want to just come out and, just attack back or just address the misinformation directly or anything like that, because people are dug in and they're not going to just change their minds automatically. And that's an ugly thing to have to do. And so we decided that the best thing that we do is just kind of lavish love on our community and try to find ways to bring people out and get people engaged with each other again by doing things that are positive instead of negative. So we had several Zoom meetings, a core group of us, about like maybe 8 or 10 people. And coincidentally, around that same time, Melanie Wilson, who's now our executive director, was driving We have a state highway that goes right through our town. It's like the main thoroughfare that gets people in and out of Washougal. And during that 2-year period of the pandemic, whatever agency with the state that had been responsible for keeping it clean hadn't been out doing it. And so by 2 years into the pandemic, our highway was just so filthy. There was just trash everywhere on both sides of the highway. So one day, Melanie had her husband drop her off on the side of the road and said, pick me up in an hour. And she just walked along and just quickly filled 4 bags full of trash. And then she came and made a post on Nextdoor or social media or something and said, I just did this. And then next thing she knows, she has people offering to come out and help her. So this kind of started our first project, our first ECHA project, was we realized that
I need to jump in for a moment due to an audio issue and Barb's in. So what Barb says next is this. If you do something to help the community, pretty much nobody's going to stop you and people are going to help you. Now back to Barb.
That became our first project then. And it's an issue that like everybody in town appreciates. They can see, wow, it's getting cleaned up. This is wonderful. It's not a political issue. Nobody can argue against cleaning up the trash, right? So, and we got more and more people coming out to help and work together. And we realized that there's a variety of people coming out to help. And we also realized that just having our main thoroughfare not be full of garbage is kind of a positive psychological effect on people who live in town, you know? So it made us think about how everything's connected. The small little things that we do have effects on people, and you can't measure them.
Jumping in again to repeat what Barb says, but we know we're going to do the right thing and people appreciate it. So we came up with a mission statement. Here's Barb reading that statement.
To support and protect our community and public institutions through relationship building, education, advocacy, and volunteer initiatives that grow positive relationships and build a vibrant and healthy East County. So that's, you'll see the word relationship is in there twice. And our idea is to find things for people to do that will bring people kind of out of their silos to engage with each other. So we've started several projects, several community projects that are aimed at doing just that. They have like a goal, like paint a mural or plant a garden, but also they have the goal of bringing people out and getting people to mix up and getting people to meet each other whose paths wouldn't otherwise cross. And we just feel like that is such a healthy thing for our community. You know, so it's not directly, you know, like we need to combat misinformation or we need to, you know, fix this problem. It's just, we just need to get people together, get people talking to each other again and relating to each other again.
So you mentioned some of the activities that you and the other volunteers engage in. Mm-hmm. What's the full range of things you do? Like I heard picking up litter. What are some of the other things?
Yeah. We have maybe 4 different categories we do. One of them is supporting education. And this is one that's near and dear to my heart because I'm like directly involved with it in my job as the boss of the library at our high school. As ECHA was forming, they were asking, what can we do to support the schools? And me, having worked through the pandemic at the school, you know, I could tell them, well, I'm seeing that there are social effects on the students and that there are students who are struggling because of the difficulty that they encountered as they were trying to learn online. And so we decided to approach the school and offer to build a mentorship program. And so we call it the Community School Partnership, for lack of a better name. And we have about 18 mentors who come in once a week and meet with students who are struggling in some of their classes. And it's pretty amazing to see because these are community members who are volunteering their time to come in and sit down with a young high school student. And a lot of these students, you know, maybe they don't have a positive adult figure in their life. And it's doing good in a lot of different ways. It's helping the students a little bit more successful in their classes. It's giving the students a sort of like the experience of learning how to deal with other people who are different and a different age than them. And then it's great for the mentors that we have. We've recruited these mentors to come in. There's a variety of different kinds of people who come in. And it's energizing for them to spend time with young people and to be able to share their skills with the young people.
So is that an after-school program?
No, it actually happens during school, which is pretty unique. And it's just fortuitous that, you know, me as working at the school and then also knowing all these wonderful people from ECHA, I'm able to sort of coordinate with that. And our admin has given me a lot of support, you know, to let me be able to do this. So it's just kind of like one of my jobs supporting students is to coordinate this program during school. We started out last year doing it one day a week. And this year we're kind of expanding to add a second day. So it's pretty neat. And it's nice for the volunteers to come in and just to have this experience of being around young people in the high school and learning how our school district is operating and sort of getting, you know, that connection. And they're also making friends with each other. I've seen people who they otherwise wouldn't have ever met. And they're like on days when we had to cancel because of an icy day here in Washougal a few weeks ago. And so I had to send out a message to everybody saying, sorry, no mentoring today. But they messaged back and said, let's still meet, oh. You know, let's go to Starbucks and get coffee together. You know, so it's just so wonderful to see that people are connecting because of the projects that we're putting together. And that's just one of them. Some of our other like categories are beautification. And we've done some small garden projects for the city of Washougal. And then as we were cleaning up out there on the highway, we said to the state, the DOT, we officially adopted the highway after a little while. So that's like official with the state now. And we said, how about if we plant some pollinators by the roadside to make it look prettier and also, you know, help the bees and all that stuff? That seems to be kind of like a popular mm-hmm. thing to do these days. And so they said, sure. And their landscape designer worked with us and we got like several people together to plan it, to decide like what kinds of plants we could plant and how we would do it and what techniques we would use to prepare the site and all of that. And so that was a project that brought like 30 different people together in one way or another to help get the site prepared and plan the planting and, you know, actually do the planting. And that was a really cool one. And then, you know, we're also interested in providing for basic needs for people. So we've helped out here and there when they've had food drives around town with our community resource center. And the city has something called Refuel, which is every Friday night, they have different groups from around the area come in and prepare a meal and then open it up. It's sort of like a soup kitchen that happens one evening a week. And so we'll do that every now and then. And that's a great thing because it gives people an opportunity to come and help this population that needs a help. And for people who aren't like members of a church or part of the Rotary Club, they don't really know how to get involved in doing this kind of thing. So ECHA sort of provides that opportunity for a lot of people to just come and join us. And we've had a nice mix of different kinds of people come and help out with that. And then excitingly, we have some cultural projects that we're working on. Several of us have always loved the StoryCorps project that you know, sometimes you hear there on the radio, little snippets of them.
Yeah, on NPR.
Yeah. So we thought, well, wouldn't it be cool to do something like that just focuses on the people right here in our community? So we've created a project called East County Voices, and we're just starting to put it together right now, just putting the word out about this. And the idea is to get a wide range of different people from the community who love to tell their stories, you know, give them the opportunity to come and tell their stories and talk about what's important to them and talk about, you know, how they got here or what it was like growing up here. And the different experiences that have kind of shaped their attitudes. And we feel like that's a really, really valuable thing to do in our community because we feel strongly that people need to feel like they have a voice. And like people care about what they say and what their experiences are. And so, I don't know, I just like so many people have such interesting stories. And
that's true.
You just need to take the time to listen. And so that's our project is we're going to invite people to come in and ask questions of each other, either with a family member or a friend or coworker, and reflect on where we're at right now. And then we'll take little snippets of that and put them on our website and promote those and just to encourage people to start listening to each other. So that's a really exciting one. I'm really excited to be working on that. And then
I can imagine. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then we're also creating a kind of a new thing, and we're calling them, for lack of a better word, conversation tables. And we've invited a group of community members to come in and receive a 2 or 3 hour training in how to facilitate a conversation table. And the idea is to set up in public places, like maybe at the farmer's market or outside the library, various places, and just invite people to sit down and tell us what they're thinking, how they're feeling. And it doesn't have to be about politics. It can just be some kind of a prompt about what's concerning you, or, what's your greatest challenge, or, something along those lines. And the idea isn't to get into a debate or to discuss hot topics or anything, but it basically to give people a chance to use their voice. And so we'll have a couple of people at a table, and people can come and sit down and have coffee and cookies with us and just talk. And we're just there to listen and just let people, because we feel like it's a healthy thing for people to talk it out and to discuss what they're feeling. And I don't feel like people have a chance to do that very often. And it's
really, right, yeah.
It's really healthy to be able to talk it through with somebody. It kind of helps you process what's going on, and it helps you sort of make sense of how you're feeling. So that's a pretty exciting one. And we're just getting ready to do that first training with community members in a few weeks. And then during the summer, we'll be developing that project as well. So those are some of our big ones. I didn't tell you about the mural. That's a project where we're working in conjunction with the city and another local group called the Washougal Arts and Cultural Association. And we've said, hey, there's this ugly bathroom building in the park. Let's paint a mural on it. Let's make it look nice so that the people who live in this neighborhood will feel a little bit more engaged and invested and feel like they're valued and like their voice is heard. So we had a big meeting at the park where we invited the neighbors to come out and tell us like what's important to them and what kind of themes they would like to see and, give suggestions. And then we worked with a couple of local artists who have sort of put together these ideas into a basic design. Now it's pretty rainy and ugly here the last few months, but as soon as the weather breaks, we'll be going out there and inviting the community to come out and help paint. And that's a fun one. And we're just so excited to be doing these projects that are inviting the community to just come out and help. And that's all we ask, is just come out and help and just get to know each other. And that's it.
Wow. I'm actively having to hold my mouth from just having my jaw open like this, because it really sounds like a template for what so many communities around the country are looking for. Mm. And it sounds like you're really kind of drawing the blueprint for how to found something like this. Mm. And you described having Zoom calls to start this whole organization, maybe 8 to 10 people. How many volunteers are there now?
Oh, well, I mean, we have so many different projects that,
guess it varies. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's also part of our idea, is to do a variety of things that are going to draw out a variety of people. Like, we're just not shooting for just one segment of, we want everybody to get involved. And so we're trying to come up with something for everybody, and it's keeping us real busy, but it's just so, so rewarding to be finding opportunities to get to know our neighbors and people. It's not a big town here.
It's about 15,000 people, I think.
I think so, somewhere around there. Yeah, yeah. My friend and I, for a long time, have joked about how in Washougal there's only 1 degree of separation. So if you ever want to know something about about a certain thing, there's always one person in town that you can call to find out how to get in touch with that other person.
Right.
So,
yeah.
So that's kind of like my philosophy, is just we're just finding ways to just keep bringing people together and sort of weaving the fabric together a little bit stronger here in town.
Is there a philosophy behind, I know you read your mission statement, but is mm-hmm. there sort of like an inspiration that drew the initial meetings? And like, is there something that it's kind of founded upon? Does that make sense?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I think all of us we have a steering committee that's about 8 people, and I think everybody has different reasons for being involved. You know,
okay.
it provides a different payoff for each one of us. But, you know, going back to how we all sort of met was it was during the pandemic, and it was pretty ugly around here in Washougal, and people were concerned. You remember what it was like.
Definitely.
Everybody was, we had people going to the hospital and trying to bust in and protest. And we had, you know, threats against public servants, you know, who were working in the health department. And, you know, and here locally, we had a lot of contention at our school board meetings to the point where people were coming there and threatening the school board. And, you know, it was so ugly. You know, at one point there was vandalism there, and, you know, no matter how you felt about masks or vaccines or this or that, the situation was people were concerned that our community was just being torn apart. And so that's sort of the underlying reason why we all sort of found each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I guess the reason I asked that is because it sounds like the scope of the organization of ECHA has increased, I mean, quite a bit in just the last few years. So I was just curious if there was some foundation that you're kind of building on, but it sounds like it's just your all the experiences of everybody that's involved.
Yeah, it's true. And it's funny that you say the scope has expanded, because the way I look at it is the pandemic kind of just left space for all of these, for us to fill. You know, everybody was shut down. There wasn't a lot happening. Things that had been happening before the pandemic stopped happening. And then because of the pandemic, there are people who, like, kind of now are craving that connection again. People need to be, around people, and they need to have social interaction. And it's kind of hard to get that fired up again. I don't know. Maybe it's partly we look around and we're like, hey, we could do this in our community. We could do this, you know. And now, since ECHA has formed, we're finding that we can do these things, you know. Like, if we see the fact that, you know, somebody wants to build a mural, we can do it. We just have to just get started, and people will join. And so I guess that's why it feels like our scope has expanded so much. We just keep going, wow, that's a great idea. How can we not do that? You know,
that's so amazing. Like I said, I hear you describing ECHA, and I'm just envious sort of for my own community. I guess that kind of leads me to the next question. Do you have a favorite story of seeing this kind of work going on in your own community in Washougal? Mm-hmm. And, you know, thinking, wow, this has all been worth it. You know, all the planning and effort and development has been worth it.
Yeah, totally. Well, for one thing, the fact that the highways are cleaner is huge. I mean, it's so fun to have people say, oh, that's the group that's cleaning up the highway, or to be out there and have people honking, you know, and waving and telling you thank you. A couple of weeks ago, some of our people were out cleaning up, and a guy pulled over and got out of his car, and he said, I'm always driving by and seeing you guys out here cleaning, and I decided that maybe I should help, you know. And he just stopped and just started helping, you know.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was terrific. And, you know, near and dear to me is the mentorship program at the high school, because I'm sort of the coordinator, and seeing some of these students who there's a lot of anxiety in these young students. Not everybody, but there's a lot of anxiety among this group, this young group of people. And I don't know why. I don't know if it's because of the pandemic or if that just made it worse or whatever, but there are students who struggle. And sometimes the school struggles to find a way to address such a wide range of needs, you know? So I love seeing students who are struggling coming in and finding somebody who's actually there to help them. And sometimes just the fact that somebody's there to help them has a huge effect on these kids, you know. Last year we had a student who was really, really struggling. He met with a mentor once a week who helped him with his biology. And it was a situation where he, for whatever reason, he wasn't able to do the work very well in the classroom environment. But when he was in the library working one-on-one, he showed her that he could do it. He showed her that he understood it. And the teacher worked with us and said, okay, I'll give him credit for that. And, you know, that student ended up passing that class. And like, my hunch is, I don't know if that would have happened. I don't know if he would have passed that class if it hadn't been for coming and getting help from somebody else once a week.
That's so touching. Yeah.
Yeah. And then also just the relationships. This past Christmas, we had a group of girls who are, you know, freshmen, and they're not school oriented. They're very social. And they walked in the Wednesday before Christmas with a tin full of cookies for our mentor, you know, to give him.
Aww.
Because they've got this social connection. And I just love seeing that.
That's so cool. Like I said, you tell me this and it just like fills my cup, I guess. Like, I'm just so happy that it's worked out so well for you so far. It's really impressive.
Well, thank you so much. It's been, for me, it's been a labor of love, and it's been kind of like medicine for me to be busy working on these kinds of things, because I look at the news, I think about what's happening in the world. And if I wasn't doing this kind of thing, I would just be pacing around the house anxious. So
yeah.
It's nice to take that energy and put it into something that's a little bit more positive.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any advice for someone that may be hearing this conversation and thinking, I would like to get more involved in my community the same way that the volunteers at ECHA are? What are some of the challenges that you face? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, do you just have like a bit of wisdom that you can suggest that would kind of help get the ball rolling for these folks?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I've been thinking about this a lot, and we talk about it a lot too, is the work that we're doing is very long-term. And it's hard to describe. It's kind of implicit. We just have to keep reminding ourselves to be patient. You know, it takes time for maybe somebody that you met on one of our events like 6 months ago and you haven't run into again yet, you know, but maybe next week you'll run into them and you'll have another conversation, you know, and you'll get to know each other a little bit better. It takes time, you know, so we have to keep reminding ourselves. We can't just expect us to go out and do a project and then boom, it's all kumbaya here in town, you know.
Uh-huh.
It takes time. So I would say patience is a big one, you know, checking your expectations. And then I think that a big thing to keep remembering in this kind of work is that the effects are really, really hard to measure. Like I've always put a lot of thought into the fact that, you know, every little thing we do has an effect. You know, you can smile and say hello to a student in the morning, and maybe they were having a crappy day, but maybe that one interaction just put them on a little bit of a different trajectory. And so then maybe they walked into that class with a little bit of a better attitude, and, you know, maybe things went better for the rest of the day. And so I just really believe that everything that we do has an effect. So the problem with that is you can't measure it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we can't measure how much our psyche in town is improved by having all of that trash gone off the side of the highway, but we have to just have faith that it's working, you know?
Right.
So those are my philosophy and my advice about the work that we do. Yeah.
Those are great. Cause I know with the development aspect of like nonprofit organizations, like applying for grants and things, it can be hard to measure the effects of where the funding goes and that sort of thing.
Right.
So that makes me curious too. How do you get funding for certain things?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we're all volunteer, and most of the work doesn't require a lot of money. So we've gotten a few small, like, community building grants that locally that we've used for various projects. But really, we don't require a lot of money. And I think that gives us, like you mentioned, with the grants and having to measure things, that gives us the freedom to be able to do things without like the deadlines or the data, you know, to show the results right away. And I think that maybe that's our secret sauce, is the fact that we're able to just keep doing the work without having to like account for it to anybody, you know, other than ourselves. Like we just have faith that the work is valuable and that it's working. So yeah, money's always great. But we, you know, when we need money for a certain thing, like, you know, like to buy seeds for our highway garden, you know, we were able to apply for funding from a local, it's called the Camas Washugo Community Chest. And they're sort of like a local United Way. And,
okay.
So they helped us pay for our seeds. And then, and like for this mural project, you know, money for paints and supplies. So we're working with Washougal Arts and Culture Alliance and also the city. And so all three of us are kind of working together. They're providing a lot of the money. We're providing a lot of the ideas and the people connections. And so it's working that way. So we don't really have to do a lot of grants or any of that kind of real big fundraising, because most of it is just local volunteers pitching in together.
Man, so inspiring. I keep saying that, but it's just touching me right here in my heart. Where can we follow ECHA online?
Oh, well, we have a website, and it is eastcountyvoices.org. That's our website, and you can find information about ECHA there. We also have several blog posts that people just locally have written about our experiences being here in the Camas Washougal area.
Okay.
Eastcountyvoices.org, and it's linked to a email address to get in touch with us if you have any other questions or anything.
Okay. That sounds great. I know you have other things that you could have been doing on a Saturday morning. So I really appreciate your time. Thank you for talking with me, Barb.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. It's always fun for me to describe the kinds of work we're doing here in East County with ECHA. So thank you for the opportunity.
This is The Plural of You. I'm Josh Morgan, and the show's website is pluralofyou.org. That's all for now. Thank you for being kind today. Take care.